Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to The Joe O Show on 670 The Score.
So I'm not alone. I've learned that over the last hour. Not the only one fired up this morning as I wake up and see all these Astros spewing all sorts of BS on the television and the radio nearest you. Joe Ostrowski hanging out, 312-644-6767. And this isn't just overreacting because they said some stupid stuff into microphones earlier today down in Florida. Said it at the time. You've got to strip the title. You've got to. It's a different game. And I'm hearing it on the text line and people calling in as well. And you guys are right. It's a completely different game when you know what's coming. As one texter put it, it's batting practice. This ain't baseball. That's what it was. 1-9 in that lineup. Unreal. How do you not take the title away? That blows my mind. You come down as a sport so hard on all the cheaters, and you get puffy-chested about it too. Yeah, and we're not letting any of them into the Hall of Fame, which is a museum, by the way. Like you brag about it. You're basically telling the writers what to do, and they follow suit. And then when it comes to this, oh, yeah, that's fine. You can cheat. So here we are again back at, well, certain kinds of cheating is okay. Even though Manfred was warning them, sending memos out to the league, because it was known what the Astros and other teams were doing. They didn't care. Didn't care. Gave you as a fan, gave the commissioner of the sport a middle finger, continued to do it, and they won. They could say they're remorseful all they want, but they came out on top. A lot of them got paid, too, over the past few years. That's a whole nother thing. And you're not taking a ring away. Should have, Manfred. Another weak move. You know, someone said this to me the other day, and I kind of laughed it off. But maybe this isn't insane. Do you miss Bud Selig? Maybe one of the worst commissioners of all time. Is he worse than this guy? I think it's a fair question. So what are you going to do now? Probably nothing. Hope it goes away. It ain't going away. This is the story of the 2020 season. Every time an Astro goes to the plate on the road, you're going to hear boos. Every single time. It's not just Ryan Braun at Wrigley Field. No, everybody. And I hope it happens nonstop. That first game against the Angels, can't wait. And what are the Astros going to do? Because you know they're going to get hit all season. You're going to clear the benches? Really? I don't think they will. Because whose side is everybody going to take then? If they want to fight people too this year. Oh, this is going to be entertaining, man. Looking forward to it. Shane driving around now on 670 The Score. Hey, Shane.
Joe, thanks so much for having me on. This has been one of the best sports talk shows I've heard in a long time. And you are absolutely right. They've got to take the title away. They have to. And the interesting thing about this talk show is, this is Chicago sports talk where there's usually all kinds of debates. There is no debate here. I'm 44 years old. This makes me want, if there was ever a time I would throw up over sports, this is it. And I want to make a real quick comment. There have been so many great calls. We all agree. Somebody once told me that bad decisions have consequences. And you know what the thing is? You don't get to pick them. And I think what drives me the most nuts about this whole situation is the arrogance. Bregman and his arrogance, Justin Verlander, you said it before, big bad Justin Verlander, who loves to point the finger and play tough guy with everybody else. Now he has the audacity to make jokes and be lighthearted about this. I hope these guys are black and blue by the end of the season. Now, hey, even I got some guidelines. You don't headhunt. But I hope these guys are black and blue from the shoulders down. I'm with you. Every single city, they better face the music. And this is one of those situations where I love this. The old, hey, we keep this in-house, and we've already discussed this. You know what? You lost that right. I understand that mentality in certain situations. This isn't one of them. Be a man. Here's how they can get some respect. At this stage of the game, you be a man about it. Every single city, you face the music, you take your medicine. And if you're getting drilled all season, you keep your ass in the dugout, and you let your teammates take it. I am with you 100% on this. This cannot be tolerated. It cannot be. Does it compare to PEDs? It does not. Different situation, different circumstances, different time. These guys cheated, period. Take the title away. That is the only thing that can make this right. And Major League Baseball right now has a great opportunity. And you know what the reality is, Joe? Outside of one state, everybody'd agree with it. I don't get it.
Rack 'em. Thank you, Shane. Appreciate it. Love the energy. And he's 100% right. You've got to. There's got to be more pressure on Manfred, and he's probably going to hide out. Maybe he'll do a cushy interview on opening day, or he'll come out for the All-Star game. He doesn't like to speak much. He's very similar to Ryan Pace in that way, too. He doesn't like to speak much, but if he does speak, you better kiss my ass during the interview and tell me how great I am. But no, you've got to strip the title. But what can you do? Well, I hope more players start to speak out, because that's his biggest concern. Just the sport completely imploding on his watch. That's it. All these commissioners, they're all worried about their legacy. What legacy am I going to leave? Remember what I did. Oh, I left my mark on the game. That's all these clowns are worried about. Ash driving around now on 670 The Score. Good evening, Ash.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for taking my call, and a great show as always.
Thank you.
I just had two questions for you. My first question is, I notice at many ballparks nowadays that the scoreboards are already showing the pitch speed, which is normal, but now also the pitch type. Mm-hmm. So that begs for me to ask the question, the pitch type must already be known and it's already being displayed. That's my first question. My second question is, so to that
wait,
point,
wait, I don't understand your first question. Hang on, I don't understand your first question. You're asking how do they determine it so quickly?
Yeah, I mean, the technology is already there, right?
Yeah,
if they're putting
correct.
It up on the scoreboard.
Correct.
How are they going to know if it was a slider or a curve just that fast, you know? I get it if it's off-speed versus, you know, a fastball, you know? So someone's picking that up already, and the scoreboard is displaying it. So I just don't understand the nuances of that. So it begs to me to think that the technology is already there. My second question,
yep.
And then I'll hang up, and thank you for taking my call, is what I haven't heard about and what just struck me recently was last year there was an incident with Brett Boone and the Yankees and I think Gardner, and they were hitting the bats on the top of the dugout. And there was a big I think Boone got ejected, and it happened for a couple of games. And in the short research that I tried to do, it wasn't against the Astros that I could find out. But I potentially think that now that we're learning everything, that maybe that was them defending against, you know, other clubs that they thought knew that maybe were beating a drum or doing whatever to tip off the hitters. Do you recall when the whole bat on the dugout wall
was that against the Indians last year?
A couple of teams actually. It happened a couple of times, and then it was like enough is enough, and then they got ejected. But now that it's all coming out, I'm like, I wonder if that was a counter to that, because it was very kind of irate behavior, you know,
yes.
on their part. And I just didn't know if you had drawn any correlation to it. So thanks, Joe. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, Ash. I wish I had a better answer for you. But yeah, I'm looking at the video right now, and now I do remember it. When Gardner was in the dugout and he was smashing the top of the dugout. Go ahead, Dickens.
It was the Titanet
blank up video, I think.
Oh, that's right.
Tighten it up.
Tighten your bleep up.
Yeah, tighten it up. And then afterwards, you saw him smashing the top of the...
That was against Cleveland.
Dugout. Yeah. And I don't think it had anything to do with counteracting the cheating or anything like that, or cheating or anything like that. I think it had to do with frustration. That was just pure frustration because it was bad umpiring rather than cheating.
He was thrown out before doing that, I believe. That the story I'm reading. So I don't think it had anything to do with
it. Well, he kept on... What happened was...
But that was a weird situation.
He was screaming at the umpire, and the umpire gave him a warning.
Yeah.
And he kept on screaming at the umpire, and the umpire tossed him out. Then he went out there and started doing the tighten it up spiel to him, saying, I know you're having a rough day, but our guys are savages in the box. Tighten the bleep up.
That was fantastic. Yeah, I wish I had an answer. I don't on this. Don't you guys think Chris Dickens, Mike Chen, other side of the glass... Don't you think there's more to this, that it's not going to stop here? There's going to be more whistleblowing. Now it's all out there. And then as defiant as the Astros were today, starting with the owner, and once he started to answer some of those questions, I think we're going to hear more. But I'm talking about other teams. I'm not talking about more details involving Houston.
Are you talking about other players, like teams, like a player leaves a team and then whistleblows on that team, just kind of like fires?
Yes,
did?
Yes.
Maybe, I don't know.
Or it gets out, you know, these are tight circles. They all know what's going on. A friend tells a friend, then it gets reported anonymously. Like, it wouldn't surprise me at all.
Didn't we already kind of hear from this before, that there was being reports of this for quite about a long time already?
But we don't have details. We don't have any details.
That's what I'm saying, is unless you have somebody who is there doing it, reporting it, I don't know if that'll happen. I don't know if we're going to get another fire situation where he's just going to come out and be like, the Astros are doing this, I know.
I'm saying anonymously.
Maybe. These guys don't seem like the type that would just be like, yeah, you know, I'm going to...
Players around the league are really mad at the Astros over the last month. Certainly today.
I mean, I think
when they got home from camp or in the wherever they're staying at camp, and they're sitting there and watching MLB Network today, you think they're not seething?
Oh, I'm not doubting that. I mean, we saw Boston's isn't there supposed to be wrapped up soon? Their investigation, isn't that supposed to be
up soon? Now they finally have a manager, right?
Yeah. So I mean, maybe we'll see it. I don't know. The fact that no players received any punishment, I think that has a lot to do with it as well.
Yeah, but now you know nothing's going to happen to you.
Yeah, I think at this point in time, the players are just, I don't think they care because they know that there's no ramifications, so why wouldn't they talk?
Right,
I
mean, they're going to talk.
Right, but exactly.
At the same time, why would they talk?
They don't have to talk on the record is my point, though. And maybe they don't do it intentionally. They're not trying to be a whistleblower. But you talk to your friends, and a friend talks to a friend, and yeah, it'll be out there.
You'd think you'd hear more. We would have heard more about it now, though. By now, how long has this been going on?
This is the first time, though, they've spoken on the record.
Yeah, I'm just saying this, but more players coming out saying like, "Hey, I know this team's doing it. I know that team's doing it." I think we would have seen more investigations already mounting by now if players were going to talk.
I better not hear it about the Cubs. Not because they'd be cheating, because they'd be the worst cheaters of all time if that offense is somehow cheating. Because the only one cheating is Nick Castellanos last year, then.
Fire everybody.
That is correct.
Fire everybody. Get rid of them all. Because now you're horrible cheaters, too.
If you can't cheat right, you don't deserve a job. I mean, that's it. Like, if it comes down to where you have to cheat and you can't cheat right, get out of here. Go.
No question. 100%. All right, if you want to continue to talk about this, we do have open phone lines, 312-644-6767. But off the air before the show, we were having a conversation about expectations for both the Cubs and the White Sox. And just, you know, naturally, February, March, players are showing up, start to poke holes. Okay, where are the issues? Yeah, we know, Southside, everything's great, everything's wonderful, going to take this huge leap this year. But where are the holes? Which team actually has more? I think we've got a disagreement on this show, and I want to get your opinion on that. We'll talk about that next. Joe Ostrowski hanging out with you on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
You're listening to The Joe O Show on 670, The Score.
Text Zone 67011, brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online, rosenhyundai.com. 847, tally me as another Piss fan.
strip the Astros of the title. I love the guy's idea to have the minor league team play their first 60 games. When Shane was on the phone, just bringing the heat, a lot of people checking in. 630 is Nick Costas on the phone. 815, this guy does good coke. Hell yeah, Shane speaks the truth. Give him a weekend show. Absolutely right. Love it. You guys are bringing it tonight. You know, before we switch over to what's just what we're thinking about the Cubs and the White Sox, I want to squeeze in Jacob, because this is a point, certainly locally, that I haven't heard brought up. And this is a guy I was banging the trash can for the Cubs to manage. Jacob down in Champaign. You're on 670 The Score. Hey, Jacob.
Hi, Joe. How are you doing?
Doing great.
Great. Yeah, so the managerial point, a spot, is that what you...
Yeah, like I was all about a spot. I was hoping they were going to hire him.
Yeah, so I was wondering if you kind of felt a sigh of relief that they didn't hire him, because I know he was very impressive in the Cubs spot, something, you know, like mm-hmm. that. It was between him and Ross, you know, at the end of the day. Do you feel relieved that, you know, they didn't bring that to the Cubs organization, because we're already kind of a mess, you know? I think that, you know, that would only, you know, put more eyes on unnecessary eyes on us.
Well, Jacob, not only would have brought the attention, negative attention, to the Cubs, but you know what I think would have happened is he would have lost his gig. Then the Cubs would have been looking for a manager. Now Espada, he still has his job with the Astros organization. But it's because he wasn't the manager. Now, if he got hired to be a manager somewhere else because of the success of the Astros when he was there, and, you know, just framing that conversation about Espada, part of it was, well, we got to find out what the Astros are doing. We found out what the Astros are doing, man.
Yep.
I was definitely relieved. Were you relieved as a Cubs fan?
At the time, I believe it or not, I actually really wanted him to hire Espada.
Yeah, me too.
I love the whole David Ross thing, and I loved him as a player. I really did. But going from Joe Maddon, an experienced manager, and you can make the argument that we won that World Series in spite of him, but you can't deny that he's a winner as a manager. And to go away from that and go to a rookie guy, and especially if you were down to between two of the, you know, two rookie guys, I really wanted them to go with the spot up. Mm-hmm. But and now looking back on it, I very much breathe a sigh of relief that they didn't hire him.
All right. Thank you, Jacob. Thanks for checking in. Appreciate everybody that calls in to 312-644-6767. Yeah, that kind of went under the radar over the last week. A lot of people hoping that they were going to land on Espada. And I don't know if it, you know, Jacob mentioned he was down to the final two. Was there really a final two? It felt like for years that was going to be David Ross's job. It was just a matter of when.
Yeah, it was Ross's job. And the fact that now you got to look at it in hindsight is everyone was very high on Espada. Like, oh, look, he's coming from a winning organization. He's going to be able to bring what they're doing here. That's what we were saying. Was that not? Was that what the media was kind of saying around here?
That's the hope. That's why you hire the guy.
So now in hindsight, it's like, okay, well, yeah, I'm glad they didn't
so in
that
those
here.
In those meetings when they're trying to get as much info out of Espada as possible.
Well, you see, there's a trash
can. Did he say, yeah, see, here's what happens.
There's this buzzer.
Yeah, so he wears a buzzer. They all have their own buzzers. We've got seven video guys. Carlos Beltran, he just hits the trash can three times if it's this pitch, two times if it's off speed. So, yeah, it's easy.
No, we'll figure it out. I need about six trash cans, though, because they get beat up really quick.
And better not have been cheating. If I find out the Cubs are cheating, fire Theo.
I don't think Joe would.
I already want him fired. Almost.
I don't think Joe would have put up with that. I think Joe.
Oh, stomp!
I don't think Joe would have put up with that, man. He's just way too chilled and laid back.
You would have said the same thing about AJ Hinch before all this news broke.
Maybe, but I don't think I don't. I like Joe. I'm not even a Cubs fan.
You think Joe even knew what was going on the last year?
Oh, he checked out probably about halfway through this season.
He was on the Lupinella plan, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And he gets a job with Marquee. How long before they're going to make up? We know it's going to happen. I mean, Joe Maddon's going to be on Marquee at some point, right? They all make up all the time. It's just going to be.
Sammy hasn't made up.
They'll just need a little time. You know, there's a little difference.
Yeah, Joe will be.
He shut down the restaurant. It's fine.
Well, I mean, you saw the article and then Theo's comments afterwards, like Theo's like out of respect because I love Joe. You know, it's like there. I don't think there's any real hard feelings there.
I don't think there's animosity at all.
No, I think Joe
and I believed wholeheartedly what Theo said when he mentioned that there's nobody else that could have done what Joe did when he came in. Nobody else. I think he's telling the truth right there.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And I think it was just a matter of just time. I mean, that was it. It was time for them to go their ways because Theo wanted to win his way. I think that's what it was. Not Joe's way. Theo wanted to win his way.
Sounds like Matt Nagy.
Sounds like Matt Nagy.
I don't think it's that. I think it's they just disagreed on a lot of things over the last couple of years. I don't think it had to be winning a certain way. Just
you won the World Series.
They weren't optimizing everything the last couple of years.
You won the World Series Joe's way, and then you go to another championship series?
No. And then, I mean, you won because of the talent on the roster.
Of course. But it was Joe's way, quote unquote. It was him letting players play, him doing his thing. And
making awful decision in the playoffs again and again.
Misusing bullpen arms. it was not necessarily, okay, I probably
John Lackey out of the pen.
Than John Theo's Lester. Way. But Theo probably thought Joe's way was becoming obsolete. Like, they were becoming...
No, I think they disagreed a lot, especially the lineups. And it sounded... I mean, there were reports that Joe was not listening. Not that that matters anymore. I hope we're done with that thing.
Yeah, it was complacency. That's what it was. I mean, that's what it came down to, is these guys were like, well, we're good enough to win no matter what.
What guys?
The players. They didn't think they had to do a whole bunch of stuff, like show up for batting practice and stuff like that. Joe was very laxed on all of that. There was
But you're saying it's the players. Maybe the players want more structure.
Maybe.
After, 5 years of Madden? Maybe they want that a little bit.
Maybe they wanted some more zoo animals. I don't know.
I don't think so. It usually wears off. Especially when
shows.
You have a roster.
Who doesn't
you're,
enjoy a good
Dickens,
magic
just
show.
Stop. You're just spewing stuff out, throwing stuff against the wall, hoping something sticks. This isn't the 2 cents pod, man. What are you talking about?
Or face value there?
Uh-huh. It's about right. It's about right. 2 cents. Yeah.
2 cents, yeah.
Probably worth less.
Did you get any sponsors for 2 cents?
The American penny.
Have you gotten one? Sponsor. We'll only give you 2 cents just to be in.
Do you
want their name
on
there?
Do you want to be our sponsor, Joe?
No.
Okay. Well, there you go.
I've never heard it.
Give us some money, Joe.
I've never heard it. I've got to hear the show. That's it. All right. So this week, a lot of people talking about the Pecota projections and the win totals. I've talked a little bit about that this week. So on the Cubs side, what's Pecota? 84.5 now. It started at 85, then it suddenly dipped down a half run, half win for no reason. And White Sox, pretty close. Pecota was at 82.5. The win total, 84. Now, when you look at these teams, and we bring up concerns, and it sounds like there are so many more issues with the Cubs, but I'm sitting here tonight, I'm wondering, is that truly the case? Are there more holes on the Cubs roster than the Sox? Now, we still felt that in 2020 that you should the Cubs championship window should still be open. Many believe that it isn't. I'm one of them. Just in that starts with the rotation right now. That's not you don't have a closer either, in my mind. So there are multiple holes, but there are multiple holes on both teams. As far as the Cubs, once you get past starting pitcher number two, I have a lot of questions. And sometimes Quintana will be okay, and sometimes he won't. And John Lester, same deal. Fifth starter, don't even know who it is. Closer, you don't have one. Unless Jeffress were to steal it, or Ryan, or Wick. Like, who's your second best relief pitcher for the Cubs? Don't know. Do you have a center fielder? Do you have a second baseman? Well, they're signing Jason Kipnis to a minor league deal. So I think that kind of answers your question there.
He's the savior, is he not? Northbrook, he's a local guy.
Minor league deal. Minor league deal.
He's going to do it.
Uh-huh. Maybe. Maybe he will. But when we look at the White Sox... Yeah, there's a lot of positivity. There's some excitement. People are talking 15 to 20 win improvement. Not everybody, but some people are bringing that up. Talking about winning the American League Central. Okay. I'm down for that. Are you sure that all of these players we're talking about are going to hit? How much have you seen from Kopech? You don't have a second baseman now. Might be Madrigal in a couple of months. Later on in the year. Who knows? how they decide to handle that. I believe in Cease. We don't know what he is today. Do you have a lot of confidence in Ronaldo Lopez? Don't know if Rodon's going to throw a pitch this year. Although it's a very deep rotation, it appears to be. We don't know that all of these guys are going to hit. And that was a good thing that they brought in some stability with, of course, Keuchel and Gio Gonzalez. Robert, okay, no questions about when he's going to start. Fantastic. Hasn't seen a major league pitch yet. Right field, Mazzara. Expectations for his career much higher than he's ever met. And just the defense is going to struggle. Now, their bullpen actually looks stronger than the Cubs right now because they have a legit closer in Colome. And Cishek is going to be used a ton in the seventh and eighth inning in high leverage spots. But as I go through this, just because there are so many wild cards on the White Sox, now there's hope when you have a player in the top 100, top 20 prospect for years and years. Okay, you think they're all going to hit. Well, they're not. That's not how this works. Just because you saw that happen on the north side doesn't mean it's going to work that way out on the south side. Now, maybe it does. Maybe they do all hit. It's because you've heard about these guys for years and years and you think that they're only going to get better. It doesn't mean it's all going to happen. I think you can make a case right now. The team that has the lower win total, that has fewer wins according to Pecota, but has higher expectations, I think the White Sox have more holes because they haven't proven that they don't yet. What do you think, Mike Chen? You're the Cubs fan. Would you agree with me, even though we're down on the Cubs, and I mentioned this the other day, it feels like every single day we wake up, we think that the Cubs are going to lose more games than the day before, even though nothing has changed.
Yeah, I think at this point in time, when you look at the Cubs roster, you think, well, they've got more veterans. You have more. We know what these guys are capable of.
Whereas, floor guys, right?
Like, exactly.
You have an idea what Schwarber is.
Yeah, exactly. You know what you're going to get out of the majority of your Cubs players. Whereas the White Sox, when you go and look at their roster, you know, there's Lucas Giolito is coming off of a career season. Can he duplicate it again? You're looking at, you know, the one guy I think that will 100% do it again is Jose Abreu. He's got that track record. But can Moncada take another step? Is Tim Anderson a batting champion without the walks? I mean, I think that's a huge question. And he's not really concerned about it. He doesn't have a walk coach, apparently. Does Eloy have a sophomore slump? We don't know. How does Robert
Can Eloy stay healthy, for one?
Well, that too.
But there are a few, even though we don't talk about this, you know, it's all linear when they're young, right? It's all going to keep getting better.
No, it's not.
But there are regression candidates on the White Sox. I'm not trying to rain on anybody's parade, but do you expect a repeat from Giolito, Moncada, like you just mentioned, Mike, Tim Anderson, the Sox fan on the show, Chris Dickens, what do you think?
I mean, I believe there could be regression. Sure. Tim Anderson having a career year. It was a lot of career years from guys last year for the White Sox.
That's a great thing.
It was. Can they do it? I mean,
James McCann. But the White Sox knew that they didn't want to depend on that.
Exactly. So that's McCann is now stepping away. I think they've done a lot of padding. The White Sox have done a lot of padding this offseason to kind of try to protect themselves from a lot of that regression. That's why we got Keuchel. That's why you got Gio Gonzalez, to kind of solidify that rotation, just as you spoke. You can move guys into the pen then as well. Be a little bit long relievers. We don't know what we got out of Rodon when he comes back, if he comes back, you know, with that Kopech. He's not starting up on the major league roster. He's going to start down in AAA. He's going to work his way up.
That's not set in stone. I think you're right. I think you're right, but we don't know that.
Yeah, but that's from what it seems like it's going to be. I mean, why would just let him work his way up? It's Tommy John surgery. But anyway, we don't know at second base what's going to be. Like you said, with Madrigal, we don't know. Yes, we saw him progress fairly quickly up through the minor league system, but you don't know what you're going to have there. I completely see where you're going with all this. Their floor is much lower than the Cubs' floor, but I think their ceiling is higher than the Cubs'
There's
ceiling.
No question. But I'm talking about going into the 2020 season now. I'll answer my own question. I'll say that the White Sox actually have more holes than the Cubs do. What do you think, Dickens?
Yeah, I think potentially. Potentially there are more holes.
That's not answering the question.
I'm answering your question. Yes, potentially there are more holes because it's a lot of unanswered questions.
Because they haven't proven the positions are solidified yet because they haven't had the time.
Correct, correct.
But we're talking about the White Sox like they've surpassed the Cubs, which I don't think they have yet.
No, but there's more buzz, and I think that's why people are viewing it that way. There's more buzz about the White Sox than the Cubs. People are down on the Cubs.
If I had to...
I feel
so. I think the bet should be out there. If it's not, all the sports books managers should be fired. The ones that will be hired soon in the Chicagoland area, sports books around here should have the prop bet. Okay, which team's going to have more wins? Which team you taking? That's tough.
That's
really
a tough,
tough
one because they're
I'd probably
super
take
close.
I'd probably take the Sox. That's a question mark though. I want to find out more. I would wait until we get close to opening day. I would lean White Sox.
I want to see some of these guys.
Because they have so many free wins in that division.
I want to see some of these guys in spring training as well. I want to see what we have going up against even an inning or two of Major League pitching. Something that you can show me where these guys are. Yes, I understand it's not a full game and they're not going three times around against a pitcher. But even just that one time, see Madrigal have that one at-bat against a Major League pitcher.
So would you agree White Sox have more holes today on February 13th?
Yeah, because nothing's completely solidified with them.
Chen?
I would probably say that that's the case just because, you know, like you said, you don't know what they're going to be. There's a lot of questions. There's more question marks on the White Sox than are the Cubs. The Cubs, you know what you're going to get out of the majority of those players.
I'm pretty sure that rotation's better on the South side.
Here's my counter to that, though, is the Sox have a lot of potential.
It's not
answers.
Ripping. It's not ripping your team. Just
I'm not,
relax.
I know it's not ripping. I'm not. Hey, I'm chill.
Yeah, I don't want you talking about the Bulls on the air.
I will talk about the Bulls when I want to. The counter to that, though, is the White Sox have a lot more potential answers to the holes than the Cubs do. Do you agree with that? There's a lot more potential answers to the White Sox problems than there are to the Cubs problems?
I think so. I don't know. People on Twitter.com are yelling at me and telling me that I don't know much about the Cubs system because they've got all these guys. Meanwhile, they're completely revamping the entire front office because they failed over the last few years.
Which one of these guys is going to be up this season?
None of them. None of them. The talent that they do have is in the lower levels.
Yeah,
so
it doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. You're talking 2-3 years down the road, potentially.
Right.
You're not talking now. So I think, potentially, the White Sox have more holes, yes. Or not, they have more holes, yes, now, but potentially have answers to them. Where the Cubs, I don't know what they're going to do with these holes that they have.
That's Chris Dickens and Mike Chen on the other side of the glass. My name's Joe Ostrowski. Today, talking about today, it's mid-February. They've reported to camp. Positivity for the most part. Aside from the injuries. Don't worry about the injuries, Sox fans. None of those are that serious. It's fine. It's fine. No reason to dwell on that. It's happy times over there on the South side. But which team has more holes today? Because we talk about it every single day like it's the Cubs, and it's really the White Sox, because there are more questions that have not been answered yet. 312-644-6767, text 67011. You've got Joe Ostrowski on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
You're listening to The Joe O Show on 670, The Score.
Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Remaining home opponents include Illinois, Penn State, Minnesota. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at NUSports.com. Phone lines open. Which team has more holes? Cubs or White Sox? 312-644-6767. A lot of texts are rolling in. 312, White Sox had a 16% improvement in wins last year. And this year, Vegas has them at another 16% improvement, which would put them roughly at 84 wins. 90 wins is about 25%. That's a lot to ask for. 100%. And that's why many are expecting the Twins to come back to the pack a little bit, because they went over 100 last year. So you know what they did? They improved the team, because that's what they're worried about. 708, people are down on the Cubs, and they are still head and shoulders a better team than the Sox on paper. Correct, because it just hasn't been proven yet. 608, the Sox have a deeper rotation at catcher. I'll take Grandal over Contreras.
First base, a push. Second base is wide open on both sides. There is no doubt about that. Third base, a push. Shortstop. Yeah, shorts. I mean, Javi Baez. Really? Is that even... Is it too quick to say you would take Moncada today and the rest of his career over Bryant?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I think it's like, because Chris
Bryant has a lot of time left.
Chris Bryant is pretty much leveled as a player, I believe. I think he's kind of, he is what he is. Whereas Moncada, I think he could still get better.
Yes. Yeah, I was talking about that with Ryan McGuffey last night, and he brought that up. I said, well, if he's not going to regress, if he's going to take another step, that WAR is going to go up to, what, 6 or in that range? Then he's a true MVP candidate if he improves again. And I don't know if it was just his time or part of it was moving over to the third base and he didn't have to think much, but man, did it turn on last year. And I don't think he gets enough credit for what he was able to accomplish last year.
I think it was overshadowed a lot by Tim Anderson. I think that,
And Giolito.
It was all these young players progressed together, and you're like, wow, Giolito really hasn't had a great season of baseball until last year. That was his best season of baseball. And then Anderson, you saw a huge jump in progression. It's Moncada, I agree with you. I think moving over to third base.
They were ready to move Anderson to the outfield if they could have landed Machado.
Moncada over at third base is just, I think it eased up his mind. He didn't have to weigh on being like, man, that second base, I'm really struggling over there.
Fixed a lot of things.
And so I think it just kind of made him a lot more calm, and it made him a lot better at the plate as well.
I have no idea how Renteria's going to work this lineup, but it's going to be fun. I don't think there's going to be a lot of debate in those first 6-7 slots. There isn't. I was one of those guys complaining about Tim Anderson hitting 7th, even though he was successful down there, because I wanted to see him have more plate appearances, because that's what you typically do. And I get if you don't want to have him in the leadoff because he's not an on-base guy. He's not going to work counts at all. That's not his game. But he was successful. I'd rather see him get more plate appearances.
Who do you have leadoff? That's the real question with the White Sox right now, too, is who do you have leadoff? You have a lot of options that you can do. You can do Moncada up at leadoff. It wouldn't be bad, terrible for him.
Yeah.
I've heard Yaz. I don't know if I like that, but I've heard it because he gets the walks.
And what about the 1 or 2 days a week he sits?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Or he could DH too.
He could DH
if you want him doing that.
DH lead off.
I mean, look, yeah. Well, you know how Ricky is. Some of the younger guys, he's going to push down in the order. I think that's probably how he's going to figure it out. Because you know, Abreu and Encarnacion are going to be in the heart of the lineup. Moncada as well. It's just, is there which one's going to be that leadoff guy? Put your high OBP guy up there. I mean, for the Cubs, as they've been trying to figure this out for years and years, I wouldn't have been mad if they'd put Bryant up there. You're on base guy. Go ahead. I don't have a problem with it.
Brazil's your best.
There's no
time though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. People make that case, and it's hard for me to argue because when you look at the splits over his entire career, all those ABs have added up in that leadoff spot. But no.
No, I agree with you. I'm just saying, like, he's also the greatest relief pitcher of all time, if you ask him. So
yeah,
it's one. I don't think that's a guy you put up at there because you're missing that power. But Bryant, yeah, the power is kind of regressed, so I think you could throw him up at that leadoff for the Cubs, even though.
So if Grandal's not your leadoff guy, he's going to be 5th.
Yeah, you'd have to put him 5.
They're probably going to keep Tim Anderson 7th because it's just the easy thing to do. Because they don't need him at the top anymore with all these guys. Where's Aloy going to hit? Probably push him down a little bit. Same thing with 6. Robert, right?
Aloy would probably be 6.
Robert's probably 8.
Robert's probably 8.
Mazar is 8, right? Because you have your second baseman 9, I would think.
Yeah. So
then Robert's 7?
Yeah, because when they bring Madrigal up, they'll want to protect him until the
play. Think about that. Like, and it's not because he's young. It's because they have so much talent. Aloy Jimenez is probably going to be your 6 hitter.
Yeah.
That's how strong it is.
This lineup is really going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Did I say the Sox have more holes? Did I say that?
Yes, you did.
What the hell was I talking about?
But I do think that
defensively,
because we
for
just
sure.
yeah. Of course, when all these guys come up, we think they're going to reach their full potential. As we all know, that is not always the case. After Colomé and Cishek, Dickens is a Sox fan. Which bullpen guys is Renteria going to trust? Now, remember, see, what's great about the Cishek signing is the new rule implemented this year. Relievers have to face at least three batters. That's what's perfect about it. Like, all these, they're kind of pushing all these one-out loogie guys out the door here. Which guy do you trust? Is there one? Maybe there isn't one. Because you need at least a few.
He's going to go bummer for sure. Bummer is going to be one of his main guys that he's going to lean on a lot.
Yeah. Not Carson Fulmer. No Fulmer?
No.
Not Fulmer. Okay. This segment on The Score brought to you by your Chicagoland Papa John's. Papa John's has done it again. They've created the all-new Papadilla. It's not a pizza and it's not a sandwich. It's something in between. Try one of four flavors. Philly cheesesteak, meatball pepperoni, grilled barbecue chicken, or their signature Italian for just $6. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. Did you hear Kendrick Perkins, the man, this morning on the Mullion Haw show? He tore into Jim Boylan, and the All-Star game, the festivities, everything coming on into town today and over the next few days. So take a listen to Perk just roast Boylan right here on 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.